Harold the Madman here. Welcome to Inside the Asylum. I'd like to welcome Spencer and Caitlin to the show. Future Cage Fire Radio host, summer edition.
This is what Cage Fire Radio just sounds like.
That's right, everybody's getting
a preview. I am so excited.
Yeah, this is the preview, the official Cage Fire Radio preview.
That's right. So, Spencer, you were a busy man last night covering UBC. We got some time here before Marcus Aurelio is supposed to join us, so why don't you fill us in on what went down?
Well, I definitely got to say that amateurs stole the show. They kicked off the show in a great way. Of course, it was a pro-am event, UBC 23 out here in Columbus, Ohio. And I think the fighters that came on our radio show went undefeated. So that was a good thing to see. Dan Spahn, Joe Hyland. I believe we had one other fighter on here. I'm not sure. But Dan Spahn, who we had on here last week, pulled off one of the quickest arm bars I've ever seen. 241 of round one against Aaron Mays. And, I mean, I looked down for a split second, looked back up, and he's celebrating. So this just goes to show you can't blink.
Did he get him with a punch, or did he like just instantly, tackle him to the ground and go for it, or how did it?
No, he was on the bottom. Aaron Mays, I think, tripped him, took him down, and I honestly do not know how he pulled this off. I know he was going for it. I thought he had a triangle at one point, but like I said, I looked down to write some notes and looked back up, and he won, and I was happy, but I was kind of mad that I missed it.
I hate when things like that happen.
I know, it was awful.
I missed a couple months ago at one of the Rumble at the Roselands. I looked down, I swear, I was like 1 second, and apparently I missed like the knockout of the night.
That's
it was
exactly
awful.
Why I can't look down at all. Also, on the other professional bouts, Matt Anderson got his first professional win, 450 round two by armbar. Cornelius Godfrey is the number one ranked bantamweight in Ohio, got the unanimous decision victory. Although I was not impressed by his performance, I thought, I'm going GSP on you guys, I was not impressed with his performance. But he, for a number one fighter, I expected more out of him. Mark Kofer defeated Tyson Triplett, and then Joe Hyland won. I'd say Joe Hyland versus Augusta Tyndall was fight of the night. Joe Hyland won via split decision. They were going back and forth, and I think at one point in the second or third round, Joe Hyland looked like he spit out a tooth or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was. Augusta was lighting him up in that late, I think, second round.
I hate when it involves teeth coming out.
But overall, the event was really good. That's what you got to expect from the UBC. Always great events. I'm going to go on the record saying UBC 22 is a bit better, more finishes and stuff. But I'm already excited for the next event. They definitely put on a great card.
Was there a good turnout? Lots of people there supporting local MMA?
Oh, it was crazy crowd. There was some standing room, I guess standing room only. So it was pretty almost sold out, I think. And, they were into it the whole night. And definitely, even the fighters from Missouri, Indiana, and one other state I'm leaving out, I can't remember, Michigan, even they were, their fans were well represented there.
Nice.
So, yeah, definitely a lot of people coming out to support it.
That's great to hear. I was watching an event on GFL earlier tonight for a little bit, and was very disappointed with the 45 people it looked like they had in attendance.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it was I don't know if I've ever seen an arena that empty before. over in Vermont there was.
Now, Caitlin, out in Oregon, how are the crowds out there?
You know, every show I've ever gone to has had a pretty large crowd. There was one show I went to, though, and it was on the same night as a big UFC card, and that was, like, quite a bit smaller than all the other crowds I've been to, but most of the shows do a pretty good job of advertising and getting the word out and not overbooking like a venue. So a lot of them are usually pretty big and pretty wild.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was pretty impressed with the crowd out here in Columbus. And they were loud the entire time, too. So, yeah, the event was definitely successful. I was happy to see our boy Dan win. Forgot to mention Luke Zachridge, also in the main event, defeated Marcus Finch. I believe, I have it in my notes here somewhere, I believe that was by unanimous decision. Picked him apart the entire fight. Wasn't even close.
Are you going to be making it over to Fight at the Flats, or Fight Night at the Flats, or whatever it's called, June 1st?
Yeah, I would love to. The only problem is I will be in Puerto Rico.
Oh, I see.
Wow, that's a bummer.
Yes, me and my family and my girlfriend are going down to Puerto Rico, and of course,
wow.
Of course I see that fight card, and I'm like, well, damn it.
Yeah, NAAFN.
It's okay. When you're down in Puerto Rico, you won't miss it.
Very true.
Caitlin, let's hear about your senior project. How's that all going?
Actually, it's going a lot better than I had originally planned. It's a lot of people have bought bracelets, and if they're not, a lot of people have been really willing to just donate money. If they don't want a bracelet, they'll pay for it anyways. Just to support the cause and support the fundraiser and stuff. I think we're coming close to $100 for our first mark.
Nice.
They're selling pretty fast, though. I know on Monday I'm handing out, I think, about 15. You know, everybody, I'm pretty much hitting up everyone around here, a lot of people at my school, and, you know, I take stats for my brother's basketball team now and take pictures, so I was like, hey, you know, you guys are buying a bracelet, right? no bracelet, no stats. So, I mean, it's come to a little bit of, like, you either do it or, you know, bad things will happen. You got to buy this bracelet. But it's going pretty well, though. I need more people to nominate fighters that they think deserve the award. There's not a lot of requirements. I just want someone to nominate a fighter or a coach nominate a fighter or even a fighter nominate himself. And just tell me what he would use or they would use the money for and why they think they deserve it pretty much. Because I need to get down to picking out who I want to give this to. And definitely I'm not biased. I don't have anybody in mind that I really plan on giving it to yet. So once I get more of those, I'm super excited. Do I have a guess?
Do you have a deadline for this?
At this point, I don't really have a deadline. I'm doing it until I sell out of my first amount of bracelets that I ordered, and actually I'm giving my presentation on this project at school in 2 weeks, I think, 2 weeks on a Tuesday or something like that, but let me tell you, my board is coming along great. Like, it's all black and sparkly and red, and it's great. I'm going to get some boxing gloves to put on it and stuff.
Right on. So which ones are the most popular so far, the pure black bands or the black and red ones?
I think I would say that the black and red ones are more popular, but they're pretty even. I think mostly, though, I've gotten rid of more multicolored ones. After I get rid of these, after I sell out of these ones, though, I think I want to expand and I want to make wristbands for women's MMA and kids MMA. And just, like, it's so much better to get the word out that way about all different types of MMA. And, like, these bracelets are so easy, I can mail them anywhere, internationally or nationally or whatever. And, of course, with the Team Madhouse on the back, anybody who looks at these bracelets knows where they're from, who they're from. So that's really awesome. It doesn't just spread the word of MMA, it also spreads the word of Madhouse.
Well, you know, we appreciate that. Everybody can find this on MMA Madhouse. It's a featured article there, you know, and we're plugging it away like crazy. So hopefully it continues to go well for you.
Yeah, it's going. It took me a while. I had to figure out how. Yeah, just so it's PayPal, you know that. It was so easy. I don't know why I didn't think of this. My brother, he's a major in marketing and business. I don't know why I didn't think of calling him sooner, but yeah, I just had to link it. And it was pretty simple. I also had to have him show me how to make an Excel sheet so I know who all bought and whatever. But
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to send them and everything, but they're only $4, so not a whole lot.
$4, and so we need to start pushing, you know, people to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? To get a fighter for you or a gym or whatever, right?
Yeah, nominations.
Nominations, that's the word. Sorry.
There you go.
I've been in a chicken coop all day, so my brain's not right.
The chicken coop.
So
are we allowed to nominate fighters, or does it have to be outside?
Yeah, you can nominate anybody. Anybody can nominate.
Okay. For all those listening, nominate someone.
Nominate.
Nomination.
Well, I just got a message here. Somebody's going to order 8 of them, they say.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats. You're going to love your bracelets. They're really cool, actually. I'm wearing one right now.
Cool.
I've been wearing them around like crazy.
Have you shipped me mine yet? Or?
I'm shipping all of them out on Monday. I had to go to the post office because I didn't know if you had to get those envelopes that had, like, the padded bubble wrap thing in the middle because, like, at first they're like, oh, we can't send your wristband through a normal envelope. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? It's just a wristband. So I had to, like, paperclip them super flat so you can get them through and, like, put them in notebook paper so it looks like an envelope, like one of those singing cards, and that's, like, the battery or something. But I was like, I am not paying for, like, the bubble wrap envelope for wristband.
So
while arguing with my post office, but
on the article on MMA Madhouse, people can order it through PayPal, or they can contact you directly for
they can contact me directly, and I'll be happy to give them a personal address to send money to. It just wasn't something I was going to put online. If you don't have a PayPal, you can definitely contact me.
Contact Caitlin. Get your wristband, support local MMA, all the rest of that. I'm going to try to get Marcus Lilu Aurelio in queue, so I'll be back in a minute or two. You two can argue or whatever it is you're going to do, but I'll be right back.
Oh, all right. Sounds awesome. Open debate?
Open, there you go.
What exactly are we arguing about?
Well, I don't know. What kind of ridiculous opinions do you have?
I don't know. I think we need to get, like, Skippy and Chris in for ridiculous opinions now.
Yeah, there we go.
Sounds like a good idea. Speaking of Marcus and all that stuff, I'm really ready for Bellator to start back again. Thursdays aren't the same without Bellator.
Yeah. I haven't watched as much Bellator as I'd really like to. Just because, like, Thursdays are so, like, inconvenient for me. It's those days. You should know, like, Thursdays, you get all your homework done that you have the entire week. Better do Friday.
Oh, yeah, and then you wait till the last second, and then you have to do it Thursday.
Yeah,
yep,
right? That's my week.
Oh, man.
You just
graduated,
though, didn't you? Or you just finished or something?
What's that?
You just graduated or finished, or you're going into summer after?
No, I'm just in the summer. I'm freshman out here.
Okay.
Iowa Wesleyan University, yep, happy to be done. Now I'm just waiting for Bellator. No, but it's
awesome.
I'll stick with the local cards until then.
Yeah, are your local cards really good?
We have NAAFS out here. We have UVC, OFC. So, they're really good. We have lots of fighters that end up fighting in Bellator come from the NAAFS. I haven't covered one of those events in a while, but I'm pretty happy to be with the UVC. I will be covering more NAAFS events in the future, but me and the UVC are close right now. At least I'd
That's
like to
awesome.
Think so.
Well,
Are you covering anything soon out in the West, the Wild West?
We're far from wild out here. No, I'm just kidding. I have a cowboy hat or two. I want to plan to cover a lot more once summer gets here. I have covered last month I covered a Rumble at the Roseland, and those are always good shows. The only thing I wish about those shows is they play it at the Rose Rose Theater they play it at. And it's a really cool venue. Like, you walk in and there's an upstairs, and they have the cage in the middle, and then they have seating all the way around, and then they have a balcony over it, and there's seating all around on the balcony. And it's really cool. It's just the area, the whole area is just, like, too small for me. There's just too many people in a small area for me.
It's all cramped in.
Yeah, you know, like, last time I went, I was sitting and I was watching this fight, and, man, this guy, he's in there, and he's kicking ass, honestly. He's just, like, beating this guy up. But the second his opponent hits him, this girl next to me, like, screams at the top of her lungs. And I'm like, this girl has to be his girlfriend. Like, if she's not, somebody shoot me, because I know that's his girlfriend. And, like, this entire, of course, you know, you just had to know. It's just my luck. I was like, this thing's going to go all five-minute rounds, and this girl's going to sit here and lose her voice next to me. And sure enough, it went all five rounds. Thankfully, he won. I don't know what she would have done if he didn't, honestly.
you would have felt the wrath there. But I know what you mean with that. Well, first off, I know what you mean with having to focus on school before you can cover more events. I mean, I'm just now being able to cover events again. Because of school comes first, obviously, but with the people next to you cheering for the people fighting, you know, me and Bree had two little kids cheering for Matt Anderson last night, who was going for his first professional win, and thank goodness he won. I think we would have been heartbroken if he would have lost and his little kids would have been crying. So.
makes me nervous when fighters bring their kids to the show.
Well, I don't even think they were his kids. They were just shooting their hearts out for him. And I felt so bad. Like, he was getting hit. He was getting beat up for pretty much the entire first round, comes out in the second round, and he pulls off, I believe, an arm bar. I have to go back and check. Arm bar, 450 round number two. And I was just so relieved. I looked back at the kids, and they were all jumping around and stuff. But then, of course, the rest of the night, they were annoying as hell.
We have a fighter up here, and I don't believe he's pro. I think he's just amateur, and he's a constant winner. But he brings his kids to all the shows, and it just makes me nervous for him. Like, the first time I ever saw him, he got completely, like, knocked the F out. Like, out cold. This guy was not waking up for, like, a minute at least. And his kids just started bawling. And I was, like, so heartbroken for them. Like, I couldn't imagine. It's just, like, every time I see him, I'm like, where's the kids? And they walk in, they're wearing a shirt for him and everything, which is, like, it's so cute, but it's just, like, it just makes me nervous for that. Like, I would never want to see my parent get beat up in front of me.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, we had a similar situation out here at one of the, speaking of NWFS, one of those events. And, I mean, the guy, it was an amateur event, and you could clearly see that these kids' dad was just outmatched coming into the fight, and he just got knocked out, and it was one of the more brutal knockouts that I've seen live. And I just immediately looked over at that family, and the kids were just, like, shocked, and they didn't know what was going on. So,
yeah,
never a good sight to see. I was talking with my mom about it after the event, and I was telling her how bad I felt for him, and I was like, if my dad fought, I wouldn't want to go watch him if I was younger. I'd be terrified.
Yeah, exactly. Like, seriously, if I was ever walking down the street and someone came and punched my dad, I think I'd just, like, sit down and start crying. Like, that would just be so weird and, like, scary and, like, free. I don't know. I couldn't it's hard enough to see, like, girlfriends there and, like, significant other, like, whatever. It's hard enough to see them sit there and scream and cry and just, like, feel every emotion where their other significant other is fighting. But, like, the kids, it's just like, no, please don't bring them.
Yeah, definitely, for anybody listening, do not bring your kids if you plan on fighting. Yeah.
Especially if they, like, can't sit comfortably for 4 hours. Like, you have to assume that a show is, like, whenever I think about how long a show is going to be, I max it out to if every single fight went full distance, you know.
Yeah, we had.
You never know, they could.
Similar case the other night, the UBC event. A couple of them went all three rounds, and all the kids in the crowd were getting restless, and just doesn't make for a good environment. But not saying that the Latin Shrine Center the other night was a bad environment. It was packed, and I mean, it was really nice being in there. Actually got to meet Brian Rogers from Bellator. Got a picture with him.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Dan Spawn, who we had on the show last week. Got to meet him. Really nice guy. His handshake almost broke my hand, though.
See, that's the good part about being a girl. Everyone that shakes my hand is, like, scared they're going to crush it. So I get this little, like, tissue, like, high shake. I don't know. Nobody wants to touch my hand, you know? I'm just like...
See, that doesn't work for guys. They have to have that little squeeze in there to make it seem
like... Yeah, it's
like
some sort of macho thing.
Yeah, and I don't know. He won that. He won that fight. So, well... So speaking of that, Rumble in the Roseland out there, do they always have the event there? All their events are there?
They've had a couple like at fairgrounds. They've had a couple at like different fairgrounds, and I think they have one coming up in Tillamook, and I went to that one a while ago, and. It was really good. I really like when a lot of the shows are at fairgrounds, just because like the space, there's so much space for the walkout and like for the audience. I think that's so awesome when they can book a venue like that, because especially I hate when I go to an event and there's fighters and their walkout is like maybe a yard, like a couple yards long. I feel like they should just have like a little victory lap. Like they're about to get in a cage and willingly let someone beat them up. I feel like they should just be able to have a victory lap first, you know?
Yeah, I actually wish the other night at UBC that they had a small walkout, because we had some of the crappiest walkout music. There was just some awful walkout music. The fights were good, but the walkout music, I can't agree with that. It's stuck in my head, too, so...
Yeah, I don't know. Especially for debuters, it's like, just give them a victory lap. Let them run around the cage like once and, you know, pray to God that they don't end up in the hospital, you know. I'd be so scared to get in a cage. Would you ever do it?
No, I'm a viewer.
I kind of thought about it. Like, wouldn't that be cool to just go out and, like, you take notes on your... dropping of weight and like the whole week leading up to it and then finally the fight. Like, can you imagine how good of a story that would be? It would be so good.
It would be a great story, but I mean, getting punched in the face doesn't sound like my idea of fun.
I'd rather have someone arm bar me, honestly. I'd rather just cry and like, don't break my arm, like I quit.
Yeah, hats off to all those fighters who don't tap right away or try to fight out of it. Like, I know...
Seriously. There's
John
so many
Fitch
people
was
that,
talking
like,
about,
square their arms in the snap.
Oh, yeah. John Fitch was talking about, like, baiting people into submissions and so he could get the takedowns. And I was like, that's crazy. If somebody was yanking on my neck,
I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, that's enough. I'm going to go out.
Yeah, I swear there are some fighters that will have their arm break before they're about to tap out. I'm just like, please, I'm in the crowd. I'm like, please tap out. I really don't want to see your bone. I'm like, this is nasty.
No, yeah. Mizugaki, when I watched him fight Faber back in the WEC days, he would not tap. And, I mean, this ref, I forget who it was, he was awful. He was out for a good 6 seconds. And I don't know. I felt bad for the guy. I thought he died or something. But then they finally stood back up. He was out for a good minute. So
really? Wow. I haven't seen a lot of really bad refs out here. A lot of the refs that we've had, they call a pretty good fight. The worst ref I've seen is actually on the last UFC card. But, yeah, we have pretty outstanding. I don't even know. It was the one with, I'm talking about the UFC with Chael Sonnen and Johnny Bones Jones, and that was a nasty card. I don't even want to reminisce over it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The one with the eye poke, and he stopped it early.
Yeah, he goes, can you fight? And he goes, no. Obviously, the guy is going to say no. He can't feel like, you have to give him some time, though. You can't just say, well, we just got his eye poked. You obviously can't fight 5 minutes from now. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was an awful call. I know what you're talking about. I think it was, I don't know if it was Steve Mazzagatti, was it? Maybe? I don't know.
Let me jump
in here for a second. We've got our guest in queue. Marcus Lilu Aurelio has joined us from Belarus. Let's get at her. Marcus, how are you doing tonight, man?
Well, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor once again to be here.
You know,
awesome.
I'm a big
Thanks
fan
for
of
calling
your,
in.
You've got the record, I think, for calling in from the farthest distance away from our studio, man. You're a hell of a long way away. What time of day is it there?
It's Sunday at 7 a.m. I'm actually in Moscow now. I came back from Belarus, and I'm in Russia now. I'm actually on my way to the airport to head back to Vancouver for a few days before I do another tour.
Wow. Nice. That's a lot of traveling.
All over the world.
So what have you been doing over there, Marcus? What's Russia and Belarus been keeping you busy with?
Well, you know, the people here, they're really interested in capoeira, right? They love capoeira, the art. So I've been doing capoeira all my life. So I just travel around, teach people capoeira, and help promote capoeira itself. And things here have been going good. You know, last year I came here to Moscow. I also taught an MMA seminar here in one of the biggest MMA schools. And a lot of talent here, too. You know, people here, their dedication is second to none, pretty much. So we travel around, and right now I just came to do our graduation ceremony, and we taught seminars and everything else like that. So I've been here for the past 2 weeks now.
Nice. Maybe for everybody out there that might not be familiar with capoeira is, can you just let everybody know, explain to everybody what capoeira is?
Yeah, well, capoeira is a Brazilian martial art that was developed by the Africans and the natives in Brazil over 400 years ago. And the slaves, they couldn't hide any form, they couldn't learn any form of martial arts. So they had to hide their form of martial arts through the aspect of dance. And they also combined music and acrobatics, right? So you can see capoeira is really different from the regular martial art because of the music and because of the dancing aspect.
Nice. So you're coming back over to Vancouver here, and you're starting up another tour. Where's your next tour heading?
My next tour is actually, I do an internal Canadian tour. I go to Victoria, then to Calgary, then I head back to Europe. I go to Czech Republic, then I go to Kazakhstan.
Wow,
and
man,
I was scheduled to go to Armenia too, but things didn't fall through, and it was good too because I've been traveling too much anyways.
Now do you always travel and teach the martial art? Do you always do that constantly, or are you back at your academy most of the time?
Before I used to travel just on my own, you know, like I used to travel because I wanted to go to gain experience. I also travel too to get to compete. You know, capoeira has different competitions, and also to test myself, right? And so before I used to kind of like pay my own trips and everything to, you know, get my name out there, to test myself, to compete. And, you know, as I became more and more well-known, people just started actually to quite in the opposite, invite me to go to different places. And
wow.
Now it's kind of like, you know, one of my professions.
Now, how
that
big
is so
it
cool.
over in those countries?
Sorry, can you repeat that again?
I'm sorry. How big is it over in like the Eastern European countries? Is it growing really fast or?
Oh, you know what? It's huge. Capoeira here is huge. There's a lot of interest in capoeira here. Like capoeira has been here in Eastern Europe and in Europe for longer than North America, right? So, and even in North America, it's pretty popular. But you know, out here, it's been here for a little bit longer. So it's capoeira is a bit more popularized here, you know. The people here really, when they can put their mind into something here, they really go for it, you know. And people here practice every single day of the week here, capoeira, all the time. So lots of people here make it their livelihood even, right? So it's pretty popular here.
Nice, nice. Good to hear. Did you learn any sambo while you were out in Russia?
And so I learned, you know, I learned the basics of, you know, counting 1 to 30, hello, goodbye, I'm hungry, I like this. Yeah, you pick up. I mean, I've been here 6-7 times already to Moscow. I've been to Ukraine before. In Kazakhstan, they also speak in Russian. So I've been around the Russian language a lot, you know, and I can pick up a few words when people write, when people speak, and I can say a few things too, you know. It's like very, very basic, but it's difficult, man. The Russian language is fairly complex language.
Where haven't you been? It sounds like you've been everywhere.
I've been to a lot of places. I've been to about 30 countries already. You know, and
wow.
Most of the countries I've been there repeatedly. I've been there more than once. You know, like I've been there 5-6 times already. I've been to lots of places, but you know, there's hundreds of countries, so I haven't been everywhere yet.
Which one's your favorite, or where's your favorite place that you've traveled?
Well, you know, every place is actually unique. You know, some, you know, the people here are really dedicated. You know, like people in the United States, like even in the United States is different. Every place you go to, you know, LA is different from mm-hmm. Phoenix, and it's different from Chicago. It's different from New York. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint, you know. The best, you know, most favorite place of all time for me is obviously Brazil, because it's my homeland, but.
Yeah.
Do you prefer to travel and teach or be back in, I believe you're in Vancouver? Is that right?
Yeah, in Vancouver.
Do you prefer to be there and teach?
I like to be, you know, when somebody travels lots, most people think like, oh, you know, you live in the life. And that's true, you know, I really have nothing to complain about. I live a really good life. I get treated really well when I come to.
Извините, связь прервалась.
Sorry, the connection is lost.
Are we still here?
We're still here. I think we lost Marcus, so.
Oh!
That just sounded kind of.
I like that Russian accent it had, though. Can we get ours to do that?
That was pretty neat. Hopefully he can call back in. Oh, yeah, we got him right back. Here he is.
Oh, Marcus, I'm sorry about that.
That's
we
okay,
lost
man.
The Russian connection.
Yeah. It's all good. It was an interesting message we heard, that's for sure.
Sorry, the connection is lost.
Uh-oh.
Is it out again?
We just lost him again, yeah. But, well, if it doesn't work out, at least we had him for a bit. I was hoping to get to hear a little bit about, you know, Bellator and the Fightmaster series, and we'll see if it works out or not. But you know, Marcus is a great guy. I'm a huge fan of the guy. One of the nicest guys I've ever met, I think. Him and his brother Vinicius. Yeah, they're great guys.
It's kind of a contradiction to be nice and then kick people in the face like that.
Yeah, well, we got him back. We got
man.
Back.
Hello.
Hi, Marcus.
Hey, I'm sorry, one more time.
It's all good. It's all good, man. Hey, before we lose you, I'm curious, you know, your days in Bellator, you know, your name's all over the place right now with the Fightmaster series. You know, what can you tell us about Fightmaster?
Well, Fightmaster, I could tell you this is a very unique experience. You know, I've never, it was something one of a kind. Definitely. It's something that everybody's got to watch because it's very different from any other, you know, any other reality TV series, martial arts show, because realistically you get to pick your team, you get to pick your coach and everything else like that. It's a really interesting, interesting idea, you know. The guys in the productions and everything else like that was really well, everything was top-notch. You know, I can't really go into much detail, obviously. But
no, I didn't think think you could.
It's definitely a show that you got to watch to understand and to you know, find out a little bit more about. And it was the biggest experience. It was one of the biggest experiences of my life. You know, I was like, wow. You know, it was a big eye opener in regards to lots of different things. And I was able to, I always learn something from every aspect of what I go, wherever I go, if I travel or if I compete or if I fight. You know, you always learn something so much, and the show has given me pretty much that, you know, and you can bet that the show is going to be one of the most, you know, viewed shows of this year, that's for sure.
I know, I'm super, super excited for it. I was excited for it when I first heard about it, and then when I saw you were on the cast, and, you know, I'm a fellow Canadian, you're the only Canadian there, you know, I was even more excited, and, you know, hopefully we can talk to you more, you know, as the series progresses through television, if you're free or able to do that. You know, we would love to be able to bring you back a few times.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's an honor to be here once more time, man. I really appreciate it. I know I'm always busy all the time, but you guys, you know, still give me a little bit of time to get me in there to interview with you guys. I really appreciate that.
Do you have anything coming up with Bellator? Do you have any fights lined up anywhere?
No, I got a few tours that I'm doing, you know, and after the last, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the last fight I had with Chris Franck, my first debut fight with Bellator, and that was exactly my problem I had. It was like I traveled, and 10 days before the fight, I had to start fighting, and it just wasn't proper, you know, like you got to do a right training cramp in order to train that. Like everybody in Bellator is good.
Yeah.
There's no mediocre fighters, you know? So
for
next time I'm going to go in the cage, I'm going to be well prepared physically, you know, and just be prepared. So I'm finishing my tours in July, and I'm hoping that I can go, you know, train July and August, and hopefully at the end of August or in September to fight in Bellator once again.
Hey, Marcus. Hey, I'm just a fan of yours. Curious. I've listened to this interview, and you've talked about in doing your tours, getting prepared for those. I understand that aspect, but are you taking any time to maybe cross-utilize gyms there or different like techniques and styles? Because you're in parts of the world where Russian Sambo and Muay Thai are very, you know, prevalent.
Yeah. Well, wherever I go, I try to get as much as I can. Like, I went to Angola, and I went all the way to Africa and Angola last year, and I was practicing. Pretty much, I was trying to train for my fight against Chris Franck, and I met a really, really good judo masters there where, you know, I was able to exchange, basically spar with them, and you know, they showed me a few of their takedown techniques, and you know, I showed my, you know, they weren't too well-rounded in regards to the whole aspect of MMA, but they were really interested in it. So we kind of did an exchange like that, and it was kind of the same thing here, you know. I taught a seminar here in Russia, and guys here, they're boxing, they're kickboxing, it's really good. You know, they know their jiu-jitsu here. Jiu-jitsu's become really well-known here, and, you know, but they miss a little bit of that, the wrestling aspect here, where they don't do as much wrestling as most people in North America, you know? So we always get that exchange. Whenever I go somewhere, I always end up, you know, learning a little bit through different martial arts or different customs of their different cultures, right?
Oh, no, I think that's totally great, and I love the fact that you touched on, you know, that they're still developing the aspect of MMA in other parts, but they have the culture and the base of singleized different forms of mixed martial arts that are prevalent today. And you getting to play with a judo master, I bet that had to be just amazingly great time.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, like, it doesn't, you don't really necessarily need, I mean, when it comes down to it, obviously, having somebody doing MMA all the time on you, because you obviously have to constantly be changing styles, and, you know, it's a whole different game. But when you get somebody who mastered a certain art form, it's also just as a difficult task as, you know, as a regular MMA guy, like, because their technique is much more crisp than most fighters, right? So it's a different way to learn with deal somebody like that, right? And you're going to fight fighters like that. You're going to fight a fighter who's black belt jiu-jitsu. You're going to fight a fighter who's black belt taekwondo. You're going to fight a fighter who's, you know, black belt sambo. it's good to spar with people like that, because then you already, you're used to the fact that somebody may be mastering in a certain aspect that, you know, you're not really accustomed to.
Yeah, I definitely like that. Hey, guys, you can jump back in. I don't want to steal your show. I'm just a big fan. Marcus, you know, watched you for a long time. Can't wait to see what you do in the future. And as a fan, I love to hear that you're getting to travel the world and you know, play with different disciplines in a singular facet. And that's really cool. And I'm glad you're showing capoeira to the world, too.
Oh, great. Thank you. You know, I plan to do a lot more, you know. I have a lot more to represent for the art form of capoeira. You know, capoeira is still oppressed by other martial arts. You know, I go around the world, like, oh, you do that dance. Like, yes, it is a dance, but it is a martial art too, and it needs to be respected by the other martial arts community. So I still got a long way to go. It's a big battle, but, you know, I'm young and I'm still out here, and I'm going to be training hard to represent capoeira to the best of my abilities.
Can I ask you about your brother?
You got it.
I just want a quick question. I was just curious what your brother was up to, Vinicius.
You know, my brother might actually fight in AFC next week. I don't really know much, right, because I'm in the other side of the world, but I heard through the grapevine they're trying to set up, like, a quick fight for him to fight in AFC in Armageddon, right? So I'm not sure. I'm going to go back there today and talk to him and see. We're hoping that he fights sometime either this the end of this month, either this month or you'll be seeing the Capoeira brothers once again flying in the cage.
That's awesome.
Literally flying in the cage. You're a
literally, yes.
Well, Marcus, Ms. Spencer or Caitlin have another question. Do you guys have anything you want to go with?
Yeah, I was actually wondering, what is the competition level, or how is the competition level different in other countries compared to here in America, from what you've seen?
Like competition in regards to, like, MMA or more in capoeira or different martial arts?
More in MMA, like the dedication to it. Is there a lot higher of, like, dedication and effort put forth there, or, like, what are some differences that you picked up on?
Well, one of the differences I pick up on it is most of the North American MMA is very, very wrestling-based.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about getting, you know, getting that clinch, getting that takedown, and keeping the guy down and pounding him out. Here out in Eastern Europe, it's really more about striking. I was like, how hard can you hit? how good can you hit it? Right? The guys, you know, obviously, they want to take it. They'll take it to the floor, too. If they have the skills, they really would use it. But there's just really, it's not as common as in North America would be, right? So,
wow, that sounds like my kind of show.
You know, like, and then again, in Brazil, it's like very, you know, lots of jiu-jitsu. But, I mean, birthplace of MMA in Brazil, right? The guys there, like, they practice everything, you know? The one thing that's not very common in Brazil is too much wrestling, right? So in North America, it seems to be more wrestling-based. In South America, it seems to be more grappling-based and striking. And then out here in Eastern Europe, it seems to be a lot of striking.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so is it weird to come from...
a tremendous amount of power. These guys here, they lift heavy weights and they hit hard.
Yeah. So is it weird to go from another country where it's more striking-based and watching a really exciting fight to coming back here and watching a more grappling-based fight?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
has it brought your
interest concept,
down at
right?
all?
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, you kind of got to just adjust yourself if you were to fight in a different place like that, right? And just kind of mentally prepare yourself, like, if you're going to fight in North America, at any time somebody might just try to grind out a 15-minute, you know, grappling war with you pretty much. You know, while
uh-huh.
here it's like, you know, you just got to be careful because the guys here, they punch hard, they kick hard, you know. So you might have to do the reverse psychology on them and take them down instead, you know, and put them on, you know, kill their game. So, you know, it's more of adjusting your strategy and kind of preparing yourself free before you go to any form of fights, you know. But the fights here are much better on the stand-up aspect. And, you know, it's much better to see the ground aspect on in North America.
Now, Caitlin kind of touched upon it. She asked you about how MMA was approached differently in the different countries. How is capoeira approached differently in, say, from Canada, the United States, to Eastern Europe, to Brazil? How is it approached in those countries?
Well, in Brazil, you know, capoeira is viewed as a martial art, like very straightforward, you know. There's still, obviously, there's still several people who don't believe that capoeira, but capoeira is, you know, in Brazil, very dangerous martial art. Like, if you play capoeira, you must be knowing what you're doing, you know, especially if you're playing with some of the top guys. It's not something to be joking around in. But, like, in North America, because the mentality is, you know, most people come into capoeira is like, oh, I'm going to do capoeira to sweat a little bit and dance. And, you know, I saw it on TV. I saw it in the movie. They don't take capoeira serious like it's really supposed to be, right? So, but we're changing that, you know. We're like, you come to a capoeira class in Vancouver, you're not going to be training a little bit. You know, you're not going to sweat a little bit. It's not an aerobics class. You're going to get like a hard workout. You know, like you would in an MMA class, like you would in any other martial art class, right? So, but it is very different. Like, even in country specific, like a country like Turkey is very acrobatic based. They're fond of the acrobatic movements in capoeira, right? Mm-hmm. And here in Russia, it's more well rounded because capoeira has been here for a little bit longer. The way capoeira started a bit, right? Like, our group has been here for like 11 years. So we've been teaching capoeira here in Russia for 11 years, a proper way, right? But obviously there's a little bit of everything. In each place, there's usually many different styles of capoeira, right? There's a capoeira group that's more acrobatics based. There's a capoeira group that's more music based. There's a capoeira group that's more fighting based. And our group is very well-rounded. We know everything. We're supposed to drum. We're supposed to flip. We're supposed to fight. But we are one of the very rare groups who actually, aside from fighting in capoeira, we also fight against other martial arts, right, in MMA itself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's just intriguing, Even in capoeira, we see, you know, very different styles depending on the country. Each country has its interests, and, you know, the interest in Russia is more efficiency, being well-rounded. The interest in Turkey is more acrobatics-based and music, right? And each country will have that form of interest, right, depending on their culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Well, anybody who doesn't take it serious, just show them your knockout of Keegan Marshall and then see what they have to say.
I went to a yesterday and, you know, they're like, oh, capoeira, the dance. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I showed them a video on YouTube and they're like, holy cow. Couldn't believe it. And I'm like, here's, just in case you think it's a fluke, I went and put another knockout. And they were like, holy wow.
Yeah, I believe spinning capoeira kick and then a flying switch kick knockout, I think two fights after that.
Holy cow.
Now, I'm going to jump back to the Fight Master show. What was it like to be with fighters like Artemius Young and Mike the Greek Bronzalis and Joe Riggs? What was it like to be around them?
You know, it was really intriguing because, you know, I didn't know a lot of the fighters, and the fighters don't know you. And, you know, it's very I'll tell you this into detail. I couldn't say in the detail of the fight, but you know, you're not allowed to talk to anybody previous to the actual show. You know, like until you're in the house or everything, you're not really allowed to talk to anybody. So it became a really like awkward energy. You know, everybody's like anxious to see who's gonna fight who, and like, you know, it was really, like I said, it was definitely one of the biggest experiences I've ever had because it was very second to none. Like, how do you go somewhere and have 30 guys and you're not allowed to talk to each other, you know? and like everybody's like just, you know, anxious to find out who they're gonna fight, what they're gonna do, and everything else like that. They got like diesel rigs, and then like, you know, there was a few guys that you just knew was like, holy, these guys are a threat here, man. I get them in the first round, it's gonna be a problem.
Well, I don't want to ask anything that gets you in trouble. I don't want to give anything away, so.
Unless you have to, unless you really want to tell us.
But it was interesting, you know, like it was interesting to have everybody there, and then they weigh you and you find out who the fighter is and everything. And then it's like the concept of going there to fight, you don't know anything, really. That's where it really throws you off psychologically. That's where things, like, you have to be very mentally strong in order to deal with everything, because you really don't know what's going on. Like, you're the same way you guys are out of the loop in regards to what's happening in a show, the fighters were out of the loop in regards to what was going to happen to them. We're all wondering, like, what's going to happen now, you know? And like, but everybody knows
when
it comes
like a
down
plan?
To it, you're going to get in a cage and you're going to fight.
That's awesome. Marcus, you know, I really, really want to thank you for joining us tonight. You know, is there anybody out there you want to give any shout-outs to? Let everybody know where to find you on Twitter, Facebook, all that sort of stuff, and we'll let you go.
Oh, for sure. Well, shout-outs to my master, Capoeira Master, Mestre Barrão. Shout-out to my group, Acha Capoeira. To all the schools and all around the world, you know, in Vancouver, in Russia, in Turkey, in Belarus, everywhere that we have, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to keep traveling and promoting Capoeira. Currently no sponsors. I'd like to thank my MMA master, Caleb Starnes, great fighter, who will be fighting actually in June, too, in AFC. And, you know, I'll be there to support him. My brother, Marcus Vinicius, is the, you know, it's a really big, you know, he's an inspiration to me, you know. He's, when I wasn't fighting, he was the one representing, and, you know, I give him props to that, because not many people do what we can do, you know. And again, I'd like to thank you guys for the opportunity once again to come here and have the interview with you guys.
Oh, no problem, man.
Oh, yeah, catch me, sorry, on Twitter, at Barrãozinho, BARRAOZINHO. Or you can catch me on Facebook, facebook.com/AXELULO. Axe Lulo. AXELULO.
Thank you, Marcus. Have a great flight back to Canada, and you know, thank you very much once again for your time this morning.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. We hope to see you guys soon.
Have a good night.
Take care.
Well, there you go, Spencer, Caitlin, your first.
What an awesome guest.
Marcus,
that was an awesome guest.
Hey, Marcus was a fabulous guy.
I was just thinking the whole time when he was talking about all of his different travels, like, I was just like, wow, I bet this guy has had such good food, like, everywhere.
That would have been an interesting question.
Right? I was like, wow, this could be, like, those strange foods or whatever. Like, I can only imagine what that guy's ate. This is crazy.
We'll save that for the next time we have him on MMA Madhouse Live. Skippy and Lepaki love to talk about food, so.
Yeah,
we'll
really.
Definitely
they
have
take
to do that. I just, every time he was talking, I just kept picturing that spinning knockout.
I know, right? I'm like, I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Everybody can, you know, Fight Master, it's on, debuts Wednesday, June 19th on Spike TV, you know, so I hope everybody checks that out and follows Fight Master. I'm excited. I think it looks great.
No, definitely. It's definitely different. Like he was saying, you don't know what to expect. Even the fighters don't know what to expect, so it's going to be something to watch.
Being the first season like it is, and them all going into the dark like that, you know, it'll just add. It'll be like that first season of Tough, you know, where everybody, like now Tough has become so routine. It's, you know, everybody knows what's coming up, blah, blah, blah. That's where this will be special, I believe.
Yeah, nothing. That first season of Tough was the best. The rest of them are kind of getting more and more boring. So this first season of Fight Masters might just be something a little bit crazy.
We can hope. I'll be tuning in for that for sure. June 19th.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got a few minutes left in the show. Jason Gemmer from Edmonton didn't get out of his class in time, so he wasn't able to join us and talk about MFC at all. I didn't get to watch it. Yeah, you got a couple minutes. What do you want to say about MFC last night, Spencer?
Skippy can vouch for me. One of the sweetest main events I've seen in a while. Anthony Burchak versus Ryan Benoit. It went all three rounds, and normally people are like, oh, all three rounds. That, just reading it on paper, that's probably a boring fight. These guys were going at it. 1 second Anthony was in the mount position, next second Ryan was in. They both had rear naked chokes, like, within 30 seconds of each other. They, like, every aspect of MMA was, like, used in this fight. Crazy fight. Luke Harris defeated Jason Zingraf via submission. That was a crazy fight. Was it Dave Harris or Luke Harris? I'm reading it all what I have written down. I think that was Dave Harris. I'm not sure. But also, Kurt Southern defeated Mukai Marimo via submission, north-south choke. Sam Alvey, I was happy to see, defeated Jay Silva. They said the ending was controversial with the TKO coming in the third round, early in the third round. I rewatched it a couple of times, and he had been rocked in the second round. I think it was a good stoppage. I mean, he face planted into the ground. Granted, Sam Alvey ran into him, and it was head-to-head collision, but he was already rocked before that. And the rest of the card, Peter Newfield defeated Garrett Niebacken. That was a great fight. Alan Hope defeated Paul from Boyce. And that was the MFC card. But seriously, if you can find it anywhere, check out that main event, Anthony Burchak versus Ryan Benoit, welcoming in the bantamweight division in the MFC. It was awesome.
I hope to run into it somewhere up here in Canada. We don't get to see it for a couple more weeks when they run the replay on TSN2. So I'll get to see it then at least. But did they show Sam Alvey's super pregnant wife cornering him at all?
Yes, they did. And I don't know who the lady was behind his wife, but a couple of times she had to pull her back because she was so excited. But, yeah, Sam Alvey looked awesome, and I was happy his wife's water didn't break.
His wife is a supermodel, and she's his corner man. That's crazy.
It is.
I talked to him about that the other night, and legitimate supermodel who corners him.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that.
We got about a minute left here. Anything you guys want to say? Shout-outs? Caitlin, get your, tell everybody where to get your wristbands again. Anything like that? Do her.
All right. Go to paypal.com, and you can find the email address to put into. You can find pretty much how to pay for these bracelets online at my article at MMA Madhouse. The article is named Made in Madhouse. And if you have a better name than that, a more creative, awesome, innovative name, send it to me, and I'll send you a free wristband if it's super awesome. So,
super awesome.
If it's super awesome.
Super awesome. Thanks for joining us, Caitlin. It was fun to have a little preview of the summer edition of Cage Fire Radio version 2 with you two. I think you're going to have good chemistry and a good show. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. It's going to be
me
great.
Too.
Caitlin's going to be bringing the West Coast. I'm going to be bringing the East Coast. It's going to be awesome.
Right on. Kippy, do you want to add anything before I start playing this outro music?
No, you guys killed it, man. Good show. I enjoyed listening.
I'm glad we got a hold of Marcus. I was nervous all day long when he told me he was calling from over there. It was like, oh God, this is going to be a nightmare. But
I'll add one last thing real quick for everybody. Hannah Rogers just knocked Shanna Young out in 11 seconds in the first round to take V3 bantamweight title.
Holy cow!
I did not see that coming. Huge upset.
I'll be looking for the video of that.
Was it a punch, Skippy?
Yes. Yeah, from what our guys at Event is telling us, it was a nasty, just clean shot dropped her. And I mean out cold, I guess. So that's for everybody. I'll let you guys go. Eagle.
Thank you, Skippy. Okay, well, we should wrap up this show then, I guess. You know, great job tonight, and until next time.
people. Time to disperse. Party's over.